is disturbing. And again, listen, I've been around these things for years and years, and crowds certainly gather. I get that. But the assaults against the officers make it very difficult for us to do our job on behalf of the community. Yes, sir.
Is there a concern with the police force that a lot of these people are starting to protest before they even see any of the evidence? I mean, it's just like totally emotional. I understand that, and I'm sure you guys understand that, but doesn't there need to be a give and take here where they need to just kind of waste up time?
Yeah, we really do need to turn that corner. We really do need to get to the point to where we can at least wait for certain facts to materialize before we jump to conclusions, before we make attributions, before we become cynical, different things like that. We need to get the story out. I've already seen through social media that you know, that this officer, you know, stopped him, questioned him, frisked him, and then killed him in cold blood. Well, that's not what you're going to see when you see the video. We've already talked about the fact that the individual didn't have a firearm. He was not afforded medical treatment, different things like that. And those are very difficult things on a scene that's certainly dynamic to be able to explain to folks. And one of the things I try to do, and that's why I talk to these young people down there, is at least give them some sense of what we think we're looking at on this investigation. And I really think right now it's a very difficult environment to do that in.
How long did it take for EMS to show up?
You know, I don't have that with me in my notes. I wrote that at the end. About 11:15 is when the shooting happened. I would anticipate, Chief, 5 minutes?
Between 5 and 8 minutes.
And just for clarification, the officer was there responding to a stealing call, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Though we don't know whether the...
We don't know if it emanated from the mobile on the run. I suspect it did. Don't know for that for sure. I don't know what kind of comments he had on his computer-aided dispatching that would assist me in answering that question. So I don't know if he had suspect information or anything like that. If I knew, I would elaborate on that, but I think it's unfair at this moment to do that because it would be a guess.
Can you go over again the positioning of the officer compared
to the two? So the officer would be standing about where his front tire is on the driver's side, right outside his door, and the suspect that actually had the firearm, he would be standing about to where the passenger side headlight would be on the front grille of the car. So pretty much kind of across the hood from each other, not all the way across the hood, but kind of a catty corner from each other at the time.
Oh,
we believe one struck the suspect. I don't know where another one went. And the third one struck the tire of the police car as the officer was falling down. I think you're going to get that video of the officer retreating very quickly back, and he loses his balance. And
did the suspect discharge his weapon?
I don't believe he did. We're actually still looking into that. Like I said, 5 in the magazine, 1 in the chamber. Shell casings can be hard to find sometime at night and different things like that. I looked at the video, and I couldn't see a muzzle flash from the suspect's weapon. But I also couldn't see a muzzle flash from the officer's weapon just based on what we're looking at in the video. So it's kind of hard to determine those things.
Were there any other weapons found on the suspect?
No.
Did the officer have any history of events like this before?
You know, the only other event is somewhat unique. Probably the fall of 11 or 12. I'm not sure exactly which year it was. The officer became involved in a situation that turned into an armed and barricade. There was an individual inside a house who turned out to be a suspect who was had committed a crime. I won't go into all that. But there was struggle over the officer's gun. The officer dropped the magazine out of his weapon, and then he fired a shot into the floor so the weapon couldn't be used against the officer at the time. So that's about as close as we can get to it. That was a discharge, but it wasn't necessarily, it was kind of meant to prevent anything further other than to shoot at somebody at the time. Yeah, I'd like to show you this video, if I could. You're going to get your own, and I know you're not going to be able to film this thing, but just to kind of get you through a timeline of what we think we're looking at here. Which one we're going to queue up?
This is the overall video that we've already sent to to the entire media, and I think the chief's just going to really explain what we're seeing in this video. That way, when you folks take a look at it. Everything's going to happen up in this corner.
Is there footage from the other corner? Another
yeah, there is, but they're almost underneath the camera, and it doesn't capture everything but the officer retreating backwards and falling down.
And our detectives are currently looking into other angles, and if we get those, we'll be releasing those.
Is it running?
Yeah, it's running.
Okay, so what we're going to see here is the police officer is going to arrive. up in the upper left-hand corner. And then. This camera's kind of looking to the south to orient yourself. The traffic in the upper right hand would be Hanley Road. I don't know what minute we are on this one right now. Got the police car.
Can you tilt the screen forward, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so we see the police officer talking with this individual. Right under the word R on camera, we're going to see the suspect come back. Here he comes back. And here in just a second, we're going to see the handgun get produced from the suspect.
Right here.
So
he raises the handgun, and that's where this video footage stops. And again, our detectives are currently right now working on looking at all other angles. There was other cameras in the vicinity, so if we get more and further video, we will be releasing.
Here's what I don't want to do. The video goes on, okay? There is no reason for the family of this young man to have to see the rest of this video. So the video is up to the point to where the suspect is like that, but we're going to freeze it at that point, and that's what you're going to get. And then you're going to get some other video shots. So you're going to get the explosion on the parking lot, because I do think that's important in trying to maintain a safe environment. You're going to get to see a much better picture of the video that you just saw that will be sent to you from Sergeant Shulman. And I think there's another angle we'll show of the officer retreating.
Yeah, like I said, they're going over all that right now.
So, you know, one of the things we talked about is discounting rumors, you know, and when we talk about an officer that's going to stand over somebody and execute somebody, that's clearly not the case here. So what we're really trying to do, and I've talked to Chief McCall all morning about this, is try to be as transparent as we possibly can, get as much information out there for everybody so you understand these things. And we really want the community to understand this, too. At the end of the day, it can be a very difficult job for these police officers to respond to these calls. And we certainly need to continue to make the effort, such as Chief McCall has been making for years, to make sure that we have the best relationships we possibly have with our community so we avoid these type of tragedies in the future. I'll answer a couple more questions.
Quick question, clarification. The individual who was killed was the black?
Yes, sir. And if the red lights aren't on, it doesn't click on. Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, we have the car. So we're going to look at that just to make sure that it's not there. And I think we're fortunate, again, in this case, that we have this camera system. I know we've talked about body cams before. Chief McCall has some. I have some. I think that it's going to be one of these things that we need in the future. And whether it's body cams, whether it's dash cams that are associated with an audio, whatever it is, I think that when we see those things in these type of cases, it provides all of us a certain context so we understand this. At the end of the day, if there continues to be acrimony in that community, one of the things that I worry about is that it harms the community. It honestly does. The folks that live there, they get up, they go to work, they need to get gas, they want to go to the QT, the mobile on the run, whatever. So really, we can't afford to have that happen. There's all sorts of issues anyway that they're dealing with. Ma'am.
Did this individual live in the city of Berkeley?
Yeah, right now he's area code 63136, I think, up in North St. Louis. I don't have the Hunter block in front of me. I apologize. You will get that when the medical examiner's office or Crimes Against Persons releases his name.
The officer in this case chose not to put on the body camera. He had it clipped in his car, you mentioned.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a conscious decision to not have it on, or if it had to do with the fact that it was handed to him by one of his supervisors. Allegedly, he was doing something, whether it's going to a call or something else, I don't think it was this call, at the time, and he clips it onto something in the car and wants to put it on later. I don't wear a body cam, but I've seen how they go on, and it does take a couple minutes. It's kind of like wiring a mic, you know, to get these things to where they're going to be hooked on. You just don't.
I think that it wasn't assigned that day, so he did have it.
Yeah, he didn't get it at roll call. It was handed off to him later on during the shift.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the status of the officer now?
He's going to be placed on administrative leave from the city of Berkeley. And he will be on that leave until he does certain things, such as talk to the Berkeley Department psychiatrist, until the prosecuting attorney's office gets a chance to at least take a cursory view of the situation, and until Chief McCall feels like that he is fit to come back to duty.
Is there any report now?
Yeah, there's going to be a police report that has been generated from St. Louis County Crimes Against Persons, and there will also be a face sheet report that the city of Berkeley, I'm sure, has also done. And also a report on the arrests that were made by the city of Berkeley.
It's calmed down now, but are there extra patrols in Berkeley? Mm-hmm. What are you doing to make sure it stays?
Yeah, Chief McCall has set up a deal where there's going to be officers that are monitoring that area. I think right now they're static there. Last I checked, there weren't any crowds. The crowds had diminished, and there wasn't a lot of activity there. And I think that talking with Chief McCall, that he has a good plan moving forward. And it's my hope and it's my wish that we don't have further problems such as this that I think continue to agitate things. Again, this is a tragedy, but we need to begin to move past this and take it to a level of discourse and conversation and perhaps get it off the street.
How many arrests were made over that?
Four. All assaults against police officers. And I think, again, I think you saw that on one of your web pages out there. So I think that was, I haven't seen it, but it's just been described to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chief. County Police Chief.